Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ray Pritchard, raised in Kansas City. I'm in Tupelo, MS, and Steve Jordahl's.
Good.
It's 3 feet.
Morning,
from,
everybody.
3 feet from me.
I am.
How you doing,
am.
Brother Steve?
I'm well. It's a good day today. I'm heading to Orlando tomorrow. You guys going to be without me.
Hey. Where are you going? Why are you going down there?
You're going to laugh. We are. My wife and I are going to have one of these vacation rental presentations. We get a good, couple days at a resort, and we get to say no to a sales pitch.
Timeshare.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. That's
you signed up for that?
No, what? Just the presentation.
Oh, okay.
We get to stay.
Okay.
3 days.
You know what you're getting into.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah yeah. I've been down this road before. So.
One time I was in.
You're gonna ask me on Tuesday when I get back if I actually.
I had a friend.
Right.
He and his wife went on a trip to Cancun. Right.
Yeah.
So they're at the hotel, and there's one of these tables or whatever. Somebody says, "Hey, representative, say you come listen to this presentation about timeshares. Then we will give you, you know, 3 nights or 4 nights free at another resort, whatever, whenever you want to come back."
Yeah.
So he and his wife said, "Okay, we'll do that." It was like an hour or two that you got to agree to. So they went there, and they got through the presentation. The fellow said, "Thanks, but no thanks. I'm not gonna. I don't want to do it." So the people said, "Fine, then you make your own. You can find your own way back to the hotel."
Oh, ouch!
Where was it? Presentation wasn't at the hotel.
Yeah, so they came and picked them up, right?
Oh, sure.
Whining and dining them. They take them. From their hotel down to wherever the presentation was, a few miles away, and then when they said no thank you after listening to the
presentation. You can walk back.
Oh, yeah, man. Basically, that's what happened.
Heather, if you're listening, remind me to have my cell phone charged so we can call an Uber.
That's right.
Anyway, so you're going to go listen.
Yeah.
Now, you and Heather, are you in agreement that you're – are you open to doing one of these timeshares?
No.
Are you,
no, we've are got you so many them? Other things.
Are we're you messing with?
Yeah.
You're messing with them.
We want to go to the Holy Land next year and a whole bunch of stuff. So
you're willing to sacrifice?
A couple hours.
Yeah, a couple hours. But you know they get your email, your phone number.
Yeah, they get all of that.
They know where you live.
They do.
They know where you are.
Huh?
We'll fend them off. I'm going to give them. My AFA address.
All right. Timeshare Steve.
There you go.
All right.
Hey, guess what?
What?
Tucker Carlson has landed. We now know where he's going to continue to ply his trade, which is his talk show, and it is Twitter. He is going to be on Twitter, and he said yesterday he put a little blurb out saying, "Keep an ear out because I'm coming to Twitter." Listen to Cut 10.
Twitter has long served as the place where our national conversation incubates and develops. Twitter is not a partisan site. Everybody's allowed here, and we think that's a good thing. And yet, for the most part, the news that you see analyzed on Twitter comes from media organizations that are themselves thinly disguised propaganda outlets. You see it on cable news. You talk about it on Twitter. The result may feel like a debate, but actually the gatekeepers are still in charge. We think that's a bad system. We know exactly how it works, and we're sick of it. Starting soon, we'll be bringing a new version of the show we've been doing for the last 6.5 years to Twitter. We'll be bringing some other things, too, which we'll tell you about. But for now, we're just grateful to be here. Free speech is the main right that you have. Without it, you have no others. See you soon.
There's a couple of loose ends to tie up. He's still under contract. Well, Fox fired him. But in the he's got a non-compete clause in that severance package where everybody's almost positive, although it's been kept private. And so he is suing Fox to get out of – he's charging Fox with fraud, he says. He's accusing them. He's going to take him to court and try to get out of that contract so he can start up this new venture. Listen to what Elon Musk says, though. This is interesting. Elon Musk writes, on this platform, unlike the one-way street of broadcast, people are able to interact, critique, and refute whatever he or anyone else may say. And, of course, anything misleading will get community notes. I also want to be clear that we have not signed a deal of any kind whatsoever. Tucker is subject to the same rules and rewards of all content creators. Rewards mean subscription and advertising revenues, which is a function of how many people subscribe and how many people watch. Oh, he also says, I hope many others, particularly from the left, also choose to be content creators on this platform.
Right.
Well, I saw where in that same breath, almost Elon Musk said to Don Lemon, you should come. Right. And he said, you'll have a much bigger audience here than you would have had on, where was he on? CNN? Was that where Don Lemon was?
Yes.
I forget. Yeah, I think that's right. So it's a really big deal to get Tucker Carlson on Twitter. I hope he gets out of his non-compete or whatever it is he's got with Fox, because Tucker's got a lot to say. And Twitter, this is a, would this even have happened if Elon Musk had not taken over Twitter? I doubt it.
No. Well, no. I think in that case, if Twitter was under the old regime and Elon Tucker had been fired, he'd probably have to go to a One America News or some
something
other
like that.
Platform
right.
like that. Yeah.
I just don't think of Twitter as a place right. where a show would get a regular viewing audience. Why? You know,
well, podcasts are pretty popular, and Twitter's think of all the subscribers that Twitter has in the billions.
I got on Twitter when Elon Musk bought it.
Yeah.
Or a month after.
Yeah.
Or so, I think. And I follow Jenna Ellis, and I follow Elon Musk.
At Steve Jordahl AFN. There you go.
I need to put you on there.
Yeah. Huh?
I'm on there. Yeah.
Well, it's a very interesting platform with a lot of news breaks on there.
It is. News. That's why I primarily use it. It serves me with two reasons. First of all, like you say, I can get news because people like James Rosen and all these other reporters will tweet out the breaking
right.
news before it has a chance to hit the websites. So it's good for me to know breaking news. I can get there pretty quick. The other thing is, and I might have just blown that by giving the address out, but I get to push back and kind of be snarky because nobody watches my Twitter feed. I mean, I've got very, very few followers. So if I want to say something humorous about something without the fear of getting canceled.
You'll read it.
Yeah, I'll read it. I have, I get my little fun right. of making fun of something or something.
Yeah, I don't.
Else.
You get Twitter? You got an account?
I do, and I'm on it every day. And I use it almost exactly the way Steve said, for breaking news updates, you know, from around the world. You hear from a lot of voices on Twitter. Plus, it's good if you just want to hear what the controversy of the day is in the evangelical world, what we're mad at today. Twitter will always answer that question for you. I'm thinking about this thing with Tucker Carlson. How's this going to work on Twitter? I don't think of Twitter as a place to go to listen to a.
So you agree with me on that? Yeah.
Yeah. Just how's that going to work, Steve?
Well, he's going to have a live feed every as often as he decides to do the show. It might be daily, but and then anybody who it might be limited to subscribers, or it might be he might get revenue from generating ads. But while he's talking, this community notes thing is really interesting, because now what we're seeing is anytime somebody makes a claim, the community of Twitter, anybody listening, can chime in and say, well, not so fast.
Kind of like a message board.
It is.
Except it's instant.
Instant. And it is, I don't know how they do it, if it's enough similar comments are made, because you obviously can't put everybody's comment and expect, you know, to read.
Well,
but
couple of observations about this. You remember when Bill O'Reilly, did he retire or was he fired?
He was let go.
He was let go, yeah.
Wasn't that about the Me Too?
Yeah.
Allegations.
Yeah.
Yeah, allegations.
Anyway, now, am I right? Didn't Tucker Carlson replace him in that time slot?
He did.
Okay.
He did. Very next week.
Bill O'Reilly was huge for, what, 15 years? The number one, remember that? The number one show in cable?
Right.
News show?
Yep.
3 million plus viewers a night.
Right.
And then Tucker came along, and he did that or better. He was the number one show.
He was the number one show, yeah.
Right.
And now, he's, and Tucker's, Bill O'Reilly was probably approaching 70 at the time when that happened. Tucker's still, what, in his 50s?
I think he's in his 50s,
something
probably.
Like that. Yeah. So he's got a lot of years ahead of him, and there's kind of been a void for being the, maybe Tucker is that the number one most listened to or most influential voice on the right.
Yeah, since Rush.
Since Rush Limbaugh passed away, So Tucker kind of took that mantle.
There's Tucker, there's Bongino, there's, Matt Walsh serves a different purpose, but all three of those people kind of have pretty good-sized followings.
Yeah. But I think
Hannity.
But I think Tucker Carlson was number one,
right?
And of all those you mentioned, and you look at the loss, Ray, of viewers since Fox fired.
Yeah.
Tucker. I mean, they're hemorrhaging.
Right. Right.
I don't know why.
They are down. They have tanked since they fired Tucker Carlson, because after all, who are they going to put in his place? They really don't have an answer to that question yet, do they?
Now, are they going to put Kaylee McEnany in that place?
They're rotating right now. She's here this week. She's kind of we do that with hosts, don't we? If someone's on vacation.
Yeah.
But so I don't think they've settled on somebody permanently. I think they're going to see which one of the hosts rate better, and then they'll put somebody there.
That'd be interesting to see.
Yeah.
I like her, and
she's good. She's very good.
She spoke at that women's conference that Heather went to that you had.
In South Haven, Mississippi. Yeah.
Outspoken Christian.
Yeah.
We appreciate that for sure.
Yeah. All right. Next story.
All right. Guess what? Title 42 is set to expire. And, we've got migrants kind of – the border encounters have gone down the last couple months. And what we're hearing is it might be because people are kind of holding their powder, sitting waiting for Title 42. Now, Title 42 was a regulation that was put in that says that we can keep you out of the country is based on the COVID pandemic. You have to stay in Mexico. And so a lot of deportations of people that they encountered, a lot of, while people are getting those requests made, they had to stay in Mexico. Well, when that goes away, so does the stay in Mexico clause. So they're expecting a whole lot of people to flood our border. In fact, the president of Guatemala called the border president of United States. I'm assuming he talked to Mr. Biden, and
He wouldn't talk to him. Go ahead.
Well, he called somebody and tried to tell us that 80,000 migrants are headed to our border just from Guatemala. All Guatemalans.
That's what I read, that the president of Guatemala, Central American country, called the White House to try to warn them.
Nobody would take his call.
Would take his call. Wow.
Yeah. what more is there to say that we haven't said?
When does Title 42, when does it expire? Is
I believe
it today?
It's, tomorrow? Thursday. Maybe?
Thursday. So we're about to see a wave.
A tsunami.
Yeah, a tsunami of people coming into the country.
A tsunami. Well, and it's already happened.
Right.
It's already happened. You know, Abe and I were talking about this a few minutes ago. I don't know what the answer is constitutionally when the person at the top of the food chain, the president of the United States, doesn't want to defend his own country.
Yeah.
I don't know what you do about that. I don't think the founding fathers ever could have conceived that a president would work against the own self-interest of his country. And what you do about that?
Well, that would be high crimes and misdemeanors. I would assume that they...
Yeah, but the Democrat Party, you have one major political party who also agrees that it let everybody in. Now, some of them are having to deal with the reality of the situation. Some of the mayors, the Democrats, a few of the congressmen, senators, and governors.
Especially along the southern border.
Yeah, but they're not doing anything to stop it. Biden's sending 1,500 National Guardsmen down there to hand out Subway coupons and and welcome wagon to get pass out blankets.
Right. Make sure it's not going to do anything to stem the tide.
No. They're just helping. They're helping process these folks. All of them are claiming asylum. That's what's going on here, folks, if you want to know. The millions of people that are coming here from around the world now through our southern border are all claiming asylum. So with asylum, you let them into the country, and they're supposed to come back for a hearing, and most of them, vast majority of them, never do. So Biden could stop this. President Trump stopped it. Biden could stop this, but he doesn't want to, and the Democrat Party, they don't want to. They're thinking this is their ticket to being in power forever. The Democrats are. What you do is you let these millions and millions and millions of people in here. Then you give them amnesty, and then they vote for you in perpetuity.
You give them a pathway to citizenship.
If you want to know why are they doing this, that's why the Democrats are doing this, is because they want these millions of people to come in here. They have children, and then you give them legal citizenship, and then that's the end of the Republican Party as we know it. That's what the goal is. So, anyway, but right now, it's even Biden yesterday said that it's going to be chaos for a while.
You think?
That's an understatement. Yeah. So, I would say unless you have enough Republicans in Congress to hold the president accountable by, I don't know, how stopping the money, Ray, or impeachment or something. I don't know what you do about this. Governor Abbott's tried to do some things, but you have to have the power of the federal government and all the resources of the federal government to stop an invasion into your country. And when the guy at the top says, I want the invasion, I don't know what you do about it exactly.
Impeachment is always on the table, right? But at this point, first of all, I doubt that Kevin McCarthy and the guys in the House, I doubt they have the stomach for that particular battle right now.
Well, they barely have a majority anyway.
Right, okay, right.
Go ahead.
So could they even get it done? And number two, it would just get lost in the wave of news stories and scandals and everything else, and they could impeach. My impression is they could impeach Joe Biden, and it wouldn't move the needle at all.
I agree.
I don't think.
It'd only be symbolic.
Right.
Biden, as I said, we have a major political party in this country who don't believe in borders, and that's a serious problem.
Yeah.
That's an extremely serious problem because
There's got to be a point where there's so many people in the country illegally on, if they give them amnesty and a pathway to citizenship, that it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, there's got to be a point of no return or a leverage point where.
Well, how many millions more is Biden going to let? As long as he's president, they're going to keep pouring in.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
So they run out of people that want to come, but that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. And
No, it's not going to happen.
No, tomorrow the floodgates open.
Again, keep in mind here, folks, the president of Guatemala called the White House and said, I'm warning you.
Want to give you a heads up.
Yeah,
what's
I'm
about
warning
to
you. 80,000 of our people are about to come your way through up to Mexico.
Sorry about it, buddy. But
and they don't even take the guy's call.
They don't take his call.
Is that what's being?
That's exactly what's being reported. President Giammattei also tried to call the White House on the matter, but no one would take his call, reports Fox.
Yeah, and Harris, vice president, she's supposed to be in charge of the border. She's been to the El Paso airport one time, got a hot dog, went back to Washington. And now they put her in charge of artificial intelligence.
The
jokes just write themselves at a certain point.
All right, go ahead.
You gotta believe. All right, we told you yesterday that the reparations task force in California decided that $1.2 million per African-American in the state was their recommendation to the governor. Well, we've now heard from the governor. He's saying, I've got something better than money for you. How about if we continue to advance systemic changes and ensure an inclusive and equitable future for all Californians? That's what I'm going to
no,
give you.
No. I want the cash. I don't want your ideas.
They're going to have a lot of that, I think.
That's right.
To review, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, who's a far lefty, he commissioned this committee to come up with a plan for reparations for African Americans in California, right?
Correct.
And by reparations, so they did. They came up with a plan. They said 1.5 million for
1.2
million for every African American person in California. This is not a joke, folks. And now they presented that to the governor. The governor's patronizing them. He's saying he's not committing to any of this money, which he doesn't have because California's busted.
Yeah.
This was all pandering. And, Ray, you weren't with me. Were you on when I tell you what Babylon Bee said about this?
No. What'd they say?
They had a meme of a guy who was half black and half white, and they said the California's ordered this guy to pay reparations to himself.
To himself.
My daughter had a friend who called somebody that she was this. She had a white mother and a black father,
right.
And she called herself African American.
Well, right. Nice.
It's just. It's crazy left-wing lunacy. This is why California is going busted, and homelessness is everywhere, and people are leaving. I mean, the businesses are leaving. It's a progressive utopia out there.
Well, I tell you.
It's about to be a progressive dystopia.
Can I give you the latest from our president real quick before we leave?
Which president?
This would be Biden, and he was making remarks at the screening of a movie. It's American-born Chinese is the name of the movie, and he was trying to credit some of the people in there. And listen to Cut 11.
I honored a group of trailblazing artists with National Medals of Arts and Humanities. The group included groundbreaking Asian-Americans like Vera Wang, and Joan Shingang, I'm going to pronounce it right, Shanga
when was this?
Kowawa.
Yesterday.
I think I pronounced it correctly.
He won't be the nominee.
You know what's really funny about this? Is that the White House transcribes all his things, and they put this in letter for letter. I'm reading from the transcript. The group included groundbreaking Asian Americans like Vera Wang and Joan Shingang, I'm going to pronounce it wrong.
Oh, no.
Shangaka Kawawa. I think I pronounced it correctly. Then he said, she can call me Joe Biden.
Oh, no. Time for the afternoon nap, Joe.
Yeah, I just don't.
we got to get some rest here.
I know. I don't know what's going to happen. But I just don't see him being the nominee. The Democrat Party is going to come together. Their power brokers and their leaders, and they're gonna tell him he's got to go. Now, I don't know what you do about. I don't think I would invite Kamala Harris to that meeting, huh?
Yeah, she's
got to go too.
Yeah, she's got to go too. Right.
They both got to go.
And then who? Gavin?
I would tell Biden go enjoy your money that Hunter made for you, and then I would tell Kamala Harris, I would tell her, we got $10 million for you to leave. I would just write her a check, say, see ya. All right, we'll be back tomorrow, everybody. Take care.